Deuteronomy, 5th book, Old Testament. It's a second giving of the law, the duet portion. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Talked to Mike Barlman, I think, on Friday, and he said, I was planning on being there Sunday, but we got 2, 3, 4 more inches down there, so he had to go back and watch his house. So we went back there, tried to get back there again. It's not as high, but it's still high. So, and Brent called me this morning. They got 7 inches of rain in Toledo yesterday. So, I don't know. Water everywhere. I tell you, the water dogs should be happy. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this passage, help us to see what Israel did, help us not to repeat it, but unfortunately, it most certainly looks like Americans are repeating it. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to understand these words and to continually catch ourselves and to remember the great blessings of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Israel in the Old Testament is very similar in parallel to the United States in the New Testament. Obviously, we know that the United States is not mentioned in the Bible, per se, that I know of. The only difference is that Israel was chosen by God to be an example to all nations, but the colonists and the founders of this country chose God. Okay, where Israel was chosen by God, but the American people, in their founding, the general flow of the churches is that they chose God. And actually, during the what's commonly called the American Revolutionary War, their motto was "No King but King Jesus." Okay, that's what it was really about. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you read down through it, you can kind of imagine the song, America the Beautiful, about the great material blessings and the natural resources. And this is what God said Israel is going to experience when they go into their new land. Okay, and in chapter 8, verse 1, it reads, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So that's the bottom line. God wants all of us to know that you and I don't live by our own power, by our own merit, by the resources that we have in our country. We live specifically by the Word of God. Every word, verse 3, that is vital. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's the last portion of that verse. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. That's what Jesus Christ quoted to Satan in Luke 4 and Matthew 4. That's bottom line. We would not tend to think that a book is what's instrumental in giving us these blessings, but that's true. And people don't know this. Sadly, people don't know American history, but the very first Bible that was commissioned to be published officially in this country was published by a guy named Robert Atkin, and he published a King James Bible. That's the very first one. That's what the leadership of this new nation wanted. Now, when we start, drop down to verse 7, and when you read these portions, again, this is where America the Beautiful song kind of can come to mind. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. And yeah, there are natural springs still available today. If you get online, findaspring.com, you can find one. The closest one that I know of is Delphi, a natural spring. My wife and I went down and found it. We found one by Heidi. It was 20 minutes from her house. It was the only one in New South Wales, coming right out of a rock, and that's where she gets her water now. Okay, it's a natural spring. Okay, and so, verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. So coal mining, timbering of trees, gold mining, silver mines. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to do. But sadly, what is common? He gives us three times a warning in Deuteronomy 8. Sadly, what is common? Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. And if you drop down to verse 14, okay, if you get these possessions, you get houses, maybe you get estate, maybe you get some gold or silver, or a bank account with numbers in it. Verse 14 says, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. He said, don't forget me. Don't get a big head. Sadly, this is where Americans are at. Okay, and then if you keep reading down, you keep coming down, verse 17, he says this, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath got me this wealth. No, don't say that. Don't say that. God can take you out in seconds. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them, and then so forth. What's he going to do? Verse 20, he's going to destroy him. He's going to destroy us. So in that chapter, three times it mentions don't forget God. Three times in a culture with liberty and a blessing that we can produce some things. He says, don't get a big head about it. He said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Do not forget God. People forget so quick. There were 10 fellows that were lepers in Jesus Christ's day. 10 fellows, lepers. So in our culture, imagine somebody going to a cancer ward, 10 people dying of cancer. A guy walks in and says, all 10 of you are healed. They run out of the hospital. And as they run out of the hospital, one of them stops and thinks, I forgot to say thank you. One of the 10. And he goes back and says thank you to Jesus. That's what the leper did. And Jesus said, where are the 9? One out of 10 expressed some gratitude. People forget so quick. There's a young man named Joseph in the Bible. He was thrown in jail unjustly. While he was in jail, he became the trustee. He was trusted by the jailer. And so he would go from cell to cell and probably bring either their food or a book or something out of their Alexandrian library. And he's gone from cell to cell. And two guys were talking, between the bars, yelling back and forth. I could never understand this, but Jasper kind of, I could never understand this. They're on lockdown from 11 at night until 6 in the morning. That's when they're awake. That's when they yell back and forth. I would think you want to be awake when you can walk down at least play checkers or cards or something like that. But that's how those guys did that. I could never figure that out. Okay, but these two guys are talking about a bad dream they had the night before. And Joseph said, that dream probably was God speaking to you. And he said, tell me what it was and I could probably help you out. And the one guy told him what it was. He said, He said, you got a good interpretation. You're going to be restored to your position under Pharaoh. And, of course, the other guy was happy. Hey, he got a good interpretation. Mine's got to be good, too. And so the other guy said, okay, then what's my interpretation? He said, oh, well, by the way, it's going to be a Jenny Craig diet. You're going to lose 20 pounds of ugly fat. Your head's coming off in 3 days. Okay, and now the guy that got restored, and before he got let out of jail, got restored, Joseph said, what did he tell him? He said, hey, don't forget me. Remind Pharaoh that I'm in here unjustly. He said, put in a good word for me, please. He got out. What did the guy do? Forgot all about him. And then Pharaoh has a couple dreams, and then that sparked a memory. And he said, oh, by the way, there is a guy in the Gray Bar Motel that might be able to help you out. But that's when he remembered. In other words, we forget God's goodness and his kindness is a common problem we all face. Americans are facing it. And what happens when a nation forgets God? Now the end result is, in Psalms 9 verse 17, God says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Okay, but what is the progression down? Can we see some steps? Okay, the progression down when a people forget God. Now, people often tend to think, okay, parents, that when we get our children, if you were raised in a poor background, what do parents often think? I'm going to give my children something better. So they're going to try to give something better that they didn't have as a child. And sadly, how do their children receive that? They usually don't care. Why? Because everybody tends to think that everybody was raised about the same way. That's just how life is, and that's why people repeat these things over and over. And the problem is that people don't look around and compare. When I was a teenager, we started going up to northern part of Wisconsin, just south of UP, and there was a private lake resort there, and we started going there. There's two families in the Milwaukee area that we struck up a friendship with, and so we would plan the next year's vacation to go at the same time with them, the Pachakis. What a name, Pachaki. And they had their dad had left them when they were young, and so they had their kids' names were Denise. They called her Denise, Frankie, Billy, Jimmy. Okay, and those Jimmy and not Billy so much. Billy was too busy running around listening to his rock music, and Frank was probably out smoking something. But Jimmy was he and I struck up a pretty good friendship. But yet they'd watch my dad. And they'd say to me, is your dad like that all the time? I said, like what? Like that. I said, like what? And they meant a friend. They meant somebody that they could look up to. They didn't have a dad like that. They've never seen that. And me as a kid, that's just the way I think it is. I didn't think anything of it. And it's a funny thing, that Jimmy, he's a character. And he was at the time 7th grade, but he was a 6 foot tall kid. He was advanced for his age. And they had this little sailboat. We'd go out on a sail thing. It's a one-seater sailboat where you could dump it and bring it back up and all this stuff. And Dad was out there enjoying himself, and Jimmy swam out there, and he said, I'm dunking you. And Dad just told him, he said, if you dunk me, I'm dunking you when we get back to shore. And, of course, that just egged the kid on. He wanted to see if this man was like what he was like, because he had been watching him with me. And he dumped Dad. And it was late on a Friday. The next day we're going home, and he caught Jimmy. And he said, this is my last pair of clothes. He said, tough, I told you, I'm dumping you. And Dad took him out of the lake and threw him in. And you know, in that kid's heart, he loved every bit of that. He had never experienced that. He never knew his dad. Never experienced. He was thinking all families are like his family. And me as a kid, I'm thinking, all families are like our family. And then you get out and you discover it's not true. It's not true. It's a blessing when people follow the Word of God. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning about the common problem of forgetfulness. And the first thing is there are obviously many reasons why we forget. One is we are busy. This in the Bible in Mark chapter 4 is called the cares of this world. We get busy. Parents, we got children, you got to change children. I mean, when you're changing a dirty diaper, you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about the aroma. Okay, and I always had arthritis breakout at that time, thank God. It was just struck on me like that. But, I mean, you tend to forget God when you're busy, busy, busy doing things. You tend to forget the responsibilities of being a parent, where you're taking care of things, you're trying to make ends meet, you're trying to put some food on the table, you're trying to keep your bills paid, and you're busy doing things and you forget God. That's a normal thing. The second thing, second reason why often we forget God is in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, where we get sidetracked by misplaced priorities. A lot of times people will argue about the most insignificant ideas. I've heard of church splits. One church split I heard of is because they were going to have an ice cream social and they got an argument about a vanilla or strawberry or chocolate ice cream and had a church split over that. Now, obviously, there's something bigger behind the scenes, but that's the misplaced priorities. You know what wakes people up? It's a funeral. You know, where siblings fussing about something that somebody got this special favor. It doesn't matter now. Dad's dead's in the casket. Get over it. You need to realize that a lot of times people fuss about little things that's not significant. You know, and things like that. Misplaced priorities. A lot of people just got their priorities out of whack. Fighting over minor things rather than major things. Standing for major things. Like, if I'm dealing with a Jehovah's Witness, and a Jehovah's Witness is telling me that hell is like somebody goes to hell and they're gone like that. They just go. I am not going to argue with him about that. I'm not going to say, well, hell is forever and you're going to suffer eternally. I'm not going to waste time with that minor argument. I'm going to say, is that not bad enough? If you are right, is that not bad? And then switch it to Jesus Christ, because that's the major issue. Forget those little minor arguments. But you see, this is why armies are built up of young people, because they'll fight at the drop of a hat and they'll kill you over little things. Where the older you get, you realize that every battle is not important. You choose your battles. You get your priorities right. You're somebody waxing the car when it should be changing. The oil has got misplaced priorities. I mean, you can have a nice car looked waxed on the side of the road because the engine busted down because you didn't change the oil. That's a misplaced priority. And a lot of times we get sidetracked. Another thing is we get sidetracked by selfish desires. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 calls this the lust of other things. You see, we get sidetracked by other things. You see, liberty is a wonderful thing to have. If you would look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. But what comes with liberty is responsibility. Okay, a parent gets a little child, a new baby in the house. The baby is totally, 100% reliant upon mom and dad. The parent will want to raise that child where that child becomes self-reliant. Of course, nowadays they're government-reliant. But you want to raise them to be self-reliant so they develop their liberty. They get their independence. But a kid gets some of that independence. He's starting to feel it at 12 and 13 and 14. And he says, I'm ready to take off. And you don't know what liberty is about. The responsibility of liberty. Liberty is something that's a blessing to have, but what comes with it is responsibilities. And the second thought is this, is that liberty of the believer allows the child of God access to live right, not to live sinfully. A lot of us are like the little boy that gets his bicycle. He starts off with training wheels. And then he says, Dad, I think I'm big enough, I can do it without training wheels. And so you take the training wheels off, Dad's behind him, and he's running along with the guy, and the little guy says, let go, let go. He lets go, you know, and he wants to try it again. So finally he gets it, and now he's riding everywhere. He forgot about Dad. He got some liberty. But what comes with liberty is some responsibility. You can take that liberty, drive out on the highway, and get run over. You see, and the thing is with that liberty, with liberty is responsibility. God has given us liberty in our country, and hopefully we're using it for the right priority. What's the right priority? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The liberty is given, hopefully, so you can glorify God. Hopefully. But notice what the downside of the liberty in that passage is. The occasion to the flesh. Any of us parents, the prodigal son's dad knew that if he gave the inheritance to his son, he knew what he was going to do. He knew it. He gave it to his son. His son went out and wasted it, lost everything. His dad knew he was going to do that. He knew the young man did not have the wisdom with the liberty he's about ready to get. But the kid wasn't going to learn the right way, the easy way. He had to learn the hard way. And boy, did he learn the hard way. Fortunately, he came back to dad, and fortunately, dad received him. Okay, but liberty is something that needs to be very cautiously used. And liberty, true liberty, is the ability to do right. That's what liberty is. Now, if you look at American history, I put a book together for an earned doctorate on American history. And the American history is fascinating. Unfortunately, it's not taught in the schools, and unfortunately, everything is all messed up. In American history, you have a satanic group and a Christian group side by side in the founding of America. They are side by side each other. Okay, and in May 1st, 1776 is when the Illuminati began with five members. Rothschilds was one of those. Their goal was to make America the next Atlantis, a culture for Lucifer. And the churches, though, were having great revivals, and Christianity was pushing the churches. The Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Congregationalist churches were flooding, and they were packing them in. Because there was a great revival. So you have Satanism and Christianity side by side, and it hasn't changed. If you go to any government structure, you'll find satanic symbols and Christian symbols side by side. And on January 1st in 1776, King George signed a document called a Prohibitory Act where he threw off the American colonies and hired German mercenaries to attack the American colonies. Now, what did the colonists, why did they come to America? They came to America to flee religious persecution from a religious tyrant. That's why they came. Why? They wanted liberty to freely worship God. That's how America got founded. Read the Mayflower Compact. Read that. And they were appealing, they were begging King George, lay off the taxes, man, lay off. We are going to be loyal subjects. We just can't handle all that you're putting on us. And King George had reached it up to here because he thought the world revolved around him. He dumped the American colonies. And now, when that got back to America, John Adams read the Prohibitory Act in late February. And by the time that got worked through all the colonies, they realized, he has dumped us. We got no protection. We got to declare independence. We're not rebelling against the king. He dumped us off. And then when they hired German mercenaries, then they were starting to realize, we have to defend ourselves. And the churches, you know what they kept in the churches? The law books and the guns. You don't carry guns in churches anymore, except for a couple I know of. That's what they kept. And King George said, I am going to destroy this Presbyterian rebellion. It's why? It's the churches was preaching about the republic that was going to start here in America as a result of the king. You see, that's the liberty we've been given. We're losing it. And what is Americans using liberty for? Galatians 5:13, for the occasion to the flesh. That's where it's heading. You see, what happened? America's forgetting God. When people forget God, what is the byproduct of that? If you would look at Romans chapter 1. God has made himself known to every person. God is witnessing to every single individual on this planet, even if you and I don't do it. God is witnessing to them. John 1 verse 9, it says, God has lighted the heart of every man. And in Romans chapter 1, it says here that they are without excuse. They're without excuse. God has already made himself known. Now, I know what it takes to find out God's revealed himself. But Romans chapter 1, notice what happens, the byproduct of Romans 1 in verse 19. It said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. There we go. Neither were thankful, just like the 9 lepers that ran away and never said thanks to Jesus Christ. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. How vain do they become? They become so vain, like Shirley MacLaine will stand out on a beach and say, I am God. I am God. Yeah, that's Shirley MacLaine. They become vain. Okay? And what, if you keep reading down, you see how vain they become and then how perverse they become. That's America. They've lost, they have forgotten God. Oh, maybe in a seventh inning stretch they'll sing God Bless America, but he ain't going to bless America. They should be singing God Have Mercy on America. But see, how do we overcome forgetting God? Okay, we have to do certain things to have a continual remembrance of God, each of us. Okay, because we're like that little kid on that bicycle riding from place to place and we forget. But yet with liberty, hopefully we use our liberties that we have to daily, every single day, set some time aside to pray and praise God. Every day. Have some time where you get alone with God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16 calls this a sacrifice of praise. Okay, so every single day. Every single day, every individual needs to set aside some time. And I'm not talking about at the meal when you're in the restaurant, you drop the napkin, Lord, please bless this food. Thank you very much. Amen. Okay? I'm talking about you having a time of prayer with God. Okay, not only that, with that, what usually comes with that is a daily time of reading the Bible. Get some sort of a pattern of reading. You, me, I am responsible for reading the Bible. I am responsible for understanding the Bible. Not some pastor, not some rabbi, not some priest. No, when I stand in front of God, I can't look at anybody and say, you didn't show me. It's my fault. We have a liberty to understand the Bible ourselves. And if a person doesn't understand the Bible, it is their fault because they don't want to understand it. Don't kid me. I know how people are. But every day reading the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 25, it says this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, so daily reading this law of liberty right in here. If you look at nations and look at the religion dominating the nation, When Bible Christianity dominates a nation, you know what the byproduct is? Liberty. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When Islam dominates a nation, do you know what the byproduct is? Tyranny, no churches, bondage of the people. Look at any nation. Look at any nation when a religion dominates it. When secular humanism becomes the established religion, the Soviet Union, what is the dominant force? Communism, fascism, Nazism. That's the dominating. Look at church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. When biblical Christianity is the dominating faith, liberty is given to all. That's just a fact of history. Okay, and so daily praise of the word, praise and prayer to God, daily spending time with the Lord in His Word, and then this is the one you got to sit down and think. Imagine your life without the blessings of the God. Where would you be? Now, I went through high school. I didn't go to one party in high school. Okay, I didn't get drunk. I didn't drink. The strongest drug I had was penicillin. I got a shot in my rump with penicillin at 18. I fainted after I got the shot. So I don't know if I was ill. I don't know if I was allergic to it. I have no idea. I just marked out from then on out, I'm allergic to it. Okay? I took a few aspirin. Okay? About 7 years ago, I took 2 Tylenol. Okay? Now, my upbringing in my high school days is not a credit to me. It's a credit to those two. Okay? Dad had me working a lot. Okay? That's a credit to them, not a credit to me. Okay? After it became my beliefs, okay, that's when I realized this, the benefits of it. But you got to try to imagine, if you can travel to other cultures, I would encourage that, because you find out how good we have it. Oh, do we have it good in this country? Yeah, I know we're losing a lot of liberties. It's a lot better in Vietnam. I've been there. It's a lot better in a lot of these places. Okay? And a lot better in Romania. When I went to Romania in 1990, I thought that I was back in the 1950s, even though I was born in 57, but I thought the farm equipment looked like in the 1950s. The trains looked like in the 1930s. Romania. Why? Because they've been oppressed by communism. Look at other nations. Go out and look at people and realize the families, how they're raised today. I mean, when you're raised in a Bible-believing church, you just don't see. You got to get out and imagine. See, try to imagine what your life would be like without a Bible. Okay, another thing you need to do. Put Scripture up in your house. Why? Because that will trigger your memory. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says we ought to have Scripture on our gates, on our doors, on our walls. Why? It triggers our memory. It triggers our memory, and then it also tells others what I'm believed in. Okay, and the thing is get yourself in a habit. When you see an idol, a statue, I've gotten myself in this habit. When I see an idol or a statue in somebody's yard, I ask God to forgive our nation. Why? Because that is a sin. A violation of the Ten Commandments, the second one. Statue, any statue, Buddha, I don't care who you're talking about. When you go up 41 and you see the big lady up there, ask God to forgive our nation. That is a sign of idolatry. That is an offense against God. That is like God saying to God, a nation saying to God, sick them. That is a magnet to draw unclean spirits. That is absolutely forbidden, Old Testament and New Testament. When I go down to St. Joe College and I happen to see the grove, I ask God to forgive our nation. Why? That should trigger our mind. And man, you see them everywhere, right? Well, we've been praying all the time. When you go to a seminary and you see an obelisk, ask God to forgive our nation. That is a pagan symbol for Satan. When you go to government buildings and you see a Christian symbol and you see a pagan symbol, ask God to forgive our nation. Why? Because those are signs of judgment on a nation. Any nation that puts a concrete idol above God is going to be judged by God. Okay? And so those things ought to trigger our mind. And we ought to trigger these things. And when you hear of some tragedy, if you hear an ambulance, pray for whoever he's heading to. Okay? And another thing is, you know why God gives us trials? It's so that we don't forget them. If you would, look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. The troubles and the trials of life are given for two basic reasons. One is so you and I don't forget God, and two is so we don't get too big for our britches. God will give every dog enough fleas to remind itself it's a dog. And I don't care if you get one of these little sissy dogs and paint it all up and put a little bow on its head. You get it out by the goat pen, it's still going to go for goobers and raisinettes. It's still a dog. And it's gross. Okay? And God gives us enough trials and troubles to remember how weak we are. How weak we are. How frail we are. And how we need to get a hold of God. Do you know why what we're facing? We got five clowns last week have given their approval. Five clowns. They don't mean anything, really, to be honest with you, except the general nature. Okay, but what is that sin about? Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. If you ever talk to one of these people, what is the sin? They're immediately going to say, what is the sin of Sodom? They're going to immediately run, oh, you think homosexuality is wrong. No, what is the sin of Sodom? Ezekiel 16, verse 49. The sin of Sodom is pride. That's why I got out there. Pride occurs before a fall. God resists the proud. That's the sin, pride. And they put it right on front, pride. And what's the next sin? Fullness of bread. And what's the next idea? Abundance of idleness. They've been given too much where they don't have to work for a living. They get soft. And then they think the world revolves around them and they're demanding special treatment because we deserve it. They're demanding that. And what's the sin? It's pride. And some of these little sissy boys just need another boy to beat the snot out of them. To give them some manhood. They're too soft. Americans have become too soft, got nothing to do, so now they're curious, their imagination gets gone, and they think the world revolves around them. That's the sin. And so what is God going to do? He's taking it. He is going to give America a wake-up call. And it is right around the door. In fact, I'm surprised he hasn't given it yet. And boy, is it going to be a wake-up call. Sodomy is not born. It is not an uncontrollable pattern of life. It is a choice from a vain heart. That's what it is. And what these, sodomy is not a public nuisance in China. They don't have a problem with it in China. They don't have a problem with it in Russia. I don't think Mr. Putin, he don't have a problem with it. They don't have a problem with it in Nigeria. They don't have a problem with it in Muslim countries. Do you know why? All of those people are just working to try to survive. They don't got time to sit there and watch television and a sitcom and two little fruits smiling at each other. They don't got time to watch that stuff. They're busy working. They're busy getting in the dirt, trying to make a living and realizing, man, I am just trying to survive. And that is God's blessing. That is God's blessing. We don't realize that the struggles of life become God's blessing. This rain that we're getting, yeah, it's a pain. But it shows how weak we are. And you can pray and pray, and if God says, I think you need some more water, there's nothing you and I are going to do about it. We're going to pump, and I'm pumping, and I got her down now, but it's coming back up tomorrow. I know it because we're getting 2 more inches. But you see, we're getting a hold of God, aren't we? We haven't forgotten God. And that's a blessing. God would rather have you and I dirt poor and happy with God than ultra super rich and not with God. God would rather have you and I sick, laying on our back, looking straight up to heaven. He'd rather have us sick physically than to be totally healthy, ignoring Him. That's our God. He wants us to please Him. And the thing is thank God for the possession. Thank God for the prosperity we have. But don't forget God in the mix. Don't forget God. Give Him the glory. Give Him the credit. Use the liberties that we still have for His benefit. Because when we don't have them, we're going to wish we'd have done it then. You see, that we overcome our forgetfulness by a continual remembrance. A Bible verse here, a picture on the wall with a Bible verse. When we see something, it triggers our thought. We get in a practice of triggering something. And then we look at our troubles and our trials of life. And we realize that's our weakness. And that's God's way of getting us to get a hold of Him. That's His way of doing it. That's why we got the struggles. Is because God still wants our attention. Don't forget God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us realize that many of the struggles we have in life, many of the struggles are, obviously it's because of sin back from Genesis 3, but yet it's Your way of helping us to humble us and to realize that we need to totally rely upon You. Even when we're healthy, we need to rely upon You. When we're sick, we know, oh yeah, now we're praying, now the prayer requests are coming. When we're healthy, we ought to be relying on You. When we have money to bank, we ought to be relying upon You and realize that all these blessings come from God. And when our nation has the liberty that we do have so far, we need to thank You for the liberties. Lord, help us not to forget You. Sadly, this is common. It's common. Help us not to be the 9 lepers that ran off and never said thank You. Help us to appreciate what You've given while we have it. If You take it, help us to appreciate You. When heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play, the altar's open. 3 times He told Israel, don't forget Me. 3 times. And we know what they did. They forgot Him. They forgot Him. Started worshiping these little statues. And God had to knock the statue down and knock them down. And then they got a hold of God. And He blessed them. And they forgot Him. It's a constant cycle that they went through. Sadly, America's doing the same thing because we learn from history that men don't learn from history. Pride. Pride. That's the sin of Sodom. Pride. Abundance of idleness. Nothing to do. Idleness of the devil's workshop. All this other stuff is a byproduct of that. Don't forget God. Talk to God every moment throughout the day. Doing your work, pray to God. Listen to music, good Bible music. Think about the Lord. Lord, I do ask You'd help us not to forget You. Good times, bad times. Good times, Lord, help us not to forget You. Help us not get sidetracked by the pleasures of this life, the cares of this life. Help us not to forget You. Lord, help us remember. And thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your graciousness. Thank You for Your kindness. Lord, help us to appreciate it. Help us to use our liberties so that we might do right. Rather than give an occasion to the flesh as America has gone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay.